Good morning, everybody. What's got a little bit of morning left here. And welcome to our annual meeting. And my name is John Kuhn. For any new people who haven't met me yet, I'm the board president this year. And I appreciate everybody coming on this summery day when probably thinking about doing stuff outside. But we'll try and make this go as smoothly and quickly as possible. First of all, we need to make sure we have a quorum, and that would be a fourth of our membership, which is 152. So I've been told that for sure we've got at least 38 people here, so we're good to go that way. And so as we do with our board meetings, I'd like to call the meeting to order by having somebody make a motion to approve our agenda, which is in the annual report. And for any motions that we do, please state your name for the so that our secretary can make a note of that and record it for the purposes of the meeting. So do I have a motion to approve our agenda? And that was Leanne. Leanne Rigoli is approving the... Is there a second?
I second
Barbara Bigale. Great. Thank you for you two. And any discussion on that? Are you... All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Great. Motion carried. I'll light the chalice here, too, so we can be a little more official. People smarter than me would have profound words when they light the chalice, but you'll forgive me. Okay, so we'd like to, we won't read them through, but hopefully if, maybe if you even want to take a minute or two to skim it, you've got the minutes from the June 5th, last year's annual meeting, and we'd like to approve those if you want to take a quick look and make sure that nobody has any issues. It's right in the agenda. I guess it's on page 5. Kind of refresh your memory from where we were last year on those any of those topics. Would anybody like any more time to look them over? Gus? So Gus moves that we accept the minutes. Is there a second? Megan seconded. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye. Right.
Opposed? Motion carried. Appreciate that. Okay, so this annual report, I hope everybody takes some time to read through it. It's just totally amazing what we as a group, working together, as Amy talked about this morning, what we can do as a group working together when people step up and find their niche and get things done. There's so many accomplishments. I can't even begin to list them all. Social justice, Green Sanctuary, just... all of them. It's amazing. So please read through it. Give yourself a collective pat on the back. It's really excellent. And for as board president, I really thank you for all that you've done. And I think it's just an amazing community. So I'll share a little bit with you about the board activities this year. So we've been on this council committee structure now for a few years, and we're continuing to do that, and it's worked very well. Committee chairs most of the time give a monthly report to the council chair, which is one of the board members, regarding their areas. And so the board has been able to pretty much stay up to speed on what's happening in the church and what, if any, issues there have been. So I'm happy to report we can keep using that system, I think, pretty much as it is, and so that we can all be transparent and all singing from the same choir book. And then also, from like last year, when Leanne was president, the board spent quite a bit of time going through policies. And so this year, last year we pretty much made it through the policies. This year, we focused more on bylaws, and that's part of our agenda. And the bylaw proposed changes were in the annual meeting notice letter. Hopefully you had a chance to read that and see what the differences were. And I'll try and explain, you know, why we're changing the things we're proposing to change. One of the other main board goals every year, the board like would try and come up with some goals for the year. And one of my goals for this year was to increase our minister compensation to what the UUA recommendation is for a church of this size. So we used to be, and when we called Amy initially, we were at the large end of a small congregation. And the UUA defines recommended compensation on the basis of geographical location and church size. And since Amy's been here, it's been wonderful. We've grown. We love that. But it's moved us up into another compensation category. And up to this point, our budget has been very tight, so we have not really been able to make very much change in compensation, either for Amy or staff. But this year, thanks to all of your generosity, we were able to increase the compensation to the minimum for our new church size. And so I think that's wonderful, and I really appreciate all the work that Rick and Eric, and I think there was one other member of the stewardship committee has done, as well as Andreas Pack. Thank you, Amy. And the finance committee for being organized. They made the work for the budget easier than ever this year. And, of course, fundraising. The fundraising has been about the best yet. So all of those things coming together allowed us to meet our goal of increasing compensation, including for the staff. And when we present the budget, we can get into any more detail on that you'd like. So again, thank you so much to the congregation for your generosity. Another of our larger goals was to address some of the problems we have with our building. You may have noticed the siding is missing quite a few shingles. There are places that we're not quite sure where the water runs off the roof. Hopefully it's not into the wall, but it definitely needs some work. And so, and our boiler is the original from the building. I'm told the parking lot is, of course, original too, but I'm sorry, the carpet is original, which was amazing to me. But there are some things now, we've been in this building for 11 years, and that are going to need some attention. And so I got together a little task force for facilities, and we estimated some costs and got some of old quotes together and tried to prioritize some of the most important things that need to be done. And, of course, trying to do these things we need to do is way beyond the scope of our annual budget, our working budget. So that means it's time for a capital campaign. And Gail Osler has graciously agreed to chair that capital campaign committee. And we've gotten started a little bit to figure out how we can fund it, how we can fund the things we need to do, and go beyond that even in the sense of capital campaigns. Our last one was when we bought this building 11 years ago, and believe it or not, with a small number of members, relatively speaking, we were able to raise $250,000 or $260,000 to buy the building. And so now, 11 years later, we'll need to do another capital campaign. And we need to also, since it's something we're not going to do on a very frequent basis, we need to think about what is our vision for the church in the next 10 years? What do we need to accomplish in terms of RE capacity, the social hall, all these things? How do we need to make our church more inviting to visitors, just to make it a wonderful place, address the weaknesses, and go beyond even addressing the weaknesses, make it a more inspirational place? And so that's kind of where our capital campaign is headed, and I think it'll probably be fall before you hear too much about it more, but by all means, if you have any questions, I'm going to be on the committee, and Gail, and we've got several members who have joined that committee, so don't hesitate to ask any questions or give input as you see fit. So there's other things that the board went through, but if you read my section, you'll get a little flavor of that, but I won't touch on any of those in the interest of time. I would like to recognize our board this year and thank them for making this a successful year. Board members, maybe stand up if you're here as I read your name, and then so those who don't know who the board was this year can recognize you. So Helen Barra. There, our secretary, Laura Nyquist. Thank you, Laura, for taking notes this year. Greg Hillman. Pam Presby. There she is, back there. Karen Haskell. Kevin C. I think he's here somewhere. Oh, okay, thanks. And our vice president was Robert Ayler this year. He's in the back there. Leanne Rigoli, and me, of course. And so Robert and Leanne and I are leaving and replacing us if we get a vote of affirmation today are Megan Fetters, Paul Fackler, and Susan Lewis, if assuming that works for you guys. There you go. So moving right along, Amy, would you like to share a few words? And I'll say Amy's doing a wonderful job for us, and we really appreciate that you've completed your fourth year here now, and I thank you.
I am absolutely not going to read you my minister's report. Read it when you get a chance. It has been another amazing year with LCUUC. You have been so ready to do the work I have asked you to do, even when it's been hard, even when I've hammered on things over and over. What an amazing group of people. What a fine group of leaders. And what a fine group of leaders we are bringing up for next year. I could not be any more thankful to have been called to a church. Thank you all for all of the work and the giving that you have done this year. And thank you, John Kuhn, wherever you've gone. Thank you, John, for your amazing service this year. And thank you, Leanne, as past president, for all of the work. You all have done a stunning job. We are incredibly lucky in the caliber of leaders, in the caliber of people we have here at LCUUC, and I feel blessed to be called here and to be your minister, so thank you. Let me say a quick word because this, we are going into my fifth year, which is my sabbatical year. All UU ministers, as part of their contractual deal that calls them to a church. Take a sabbatical somewhere between year 5 and year 7. We must take it before 7 and after 4. And for each year that we work, we get a month of paid sabbatical, because most of us work ridiculous hours. I typically run between 50 and 80 a week, just to give you an idea. And so by that fifth year, in order that you might have a live minister in the sixth year, we tend to take our sabbatical. So I will be going on sabbatical this year on January 1 of 2018. My sabbatical months are the months of January, February, March, and April. While I am on sabbatical, I can do no work for the church, and that includes things like scheduling, planning for the following year. Theoretically, I cannot take phone calls, Facebook messages, email. Now, come on, y'all know me by now. But, so January, February, March, and April, I will be on sabbatical. May, I will be on vacation to recover from the sabbatical. And June, I will be doing my study time and reading leave, where I will be planning the following year for us. So I will be back July 1, eager, excited, happy to be here. I'm looking forward to it. It will be the longest time I have not worked 60 to 80 hours a week since I have been 15 years old. So I don't know what I'm going to do with myself, but by God, I'm going to have fun with it. But again, this is a planned contractual part of what we do, and nothing to panic about. We've got marvelous coverage while I'm gone. Chris Prangy Morgan, who has just been made a chaplain, Chris, would you wave an arm a minute, is going to be available for emergency pastoral things. Eric Moraine, who is our own, and Eric, would you wave an arm, who is the head of our Buddhist Sangha and who is an ordained Zen priest, will also be available for pastoral. So you have your lovely options there, depending on which way you tend to go. The UUA trauma team will be available for severe things. And let's face it, guys, if something terrible happens, you call me. If it's terrible, I'll come back, even though I'm not supposed to. But it will be okay. Sue Andrews is going to be staying. And Sue, wave an arm. Sue is going to be with us over the winter. So she will be here personally to make sure that Worship Arts smooths its way through. And we will have a lovely group of services and guest ministers. And it'll all be good. Yeah. So sabbatical, you'd ask about the difference between sabbatical and vacation. Sabbatical is truly intended to be a time of renewal, a time when I am not doing the business of the church. And according to the guidelines, I am not to take even a phone call. The church could burn to the ground while I was gone, and I would find out about it when I got back. It is truly designed to let me unplug for a few months from the weight of the stole and the weight of my obligations here. Where vacation, not so much. You still take calls and emails. I will not be available for any kind of routine call or routine email or anything like that while I'm gone, because it is truly supposed to be that I am not here. So unless the first words out of your mouth are, and the ambulance is on its way, it probably should go to either Karen as the head of the board or the head of a committee. And we'll be working on this when we do the committee head training at the beginning of the year. We'll be talking about, hey, who do you go to if I'm not here, if I'm on sabbatical? And we'll be reinforcing it over and over, and John will be available for questions. Karen will understand who to go to. So we'll keep working with you. We won't leave you stranded.
Thank you, Amy. And I'm looking forward to next year and then beyond after your sabbatical. Your new and recharged self will just be amazing. All right. We're making headway through our list here. We've got number 7, presentation of the 2017-2018 budget. And that's one of the important things the board does with the Finance Committee. So if you turn all the way to the back of your annual report, you can take a quick look at that. In terms of, so we've got the balance sheet, and it's looking good. Our bank account has grown a bit, and if anybody has any questions, Paul, I'm sure, would be willing to entertain them as chair of the Finance Committee. The page 24 pretty much is a snapshot of where we are through March. And page 25 and 26 are the new budget. And so, for example, you can see our budgeted income for next year is, with your generosity, is more than last year. It's up to $272,000. And on page 26, our budgeted expense is $269,000. So we're still in the black. It's a nice thing. And we might be socially liberal, but I'm sure we're all fiscally conservative, right?
This is our fifth year in a row that we have a balanced budget. This will be our fifth balanced non-deficit budget in a row.
It would be wonderful if the government could do that, too. So under the staffing is where you'll find the compensation changes from last year. And I would point out that in every case, it includes all the benefits, which are substantial, and so that's not just a salary thing. That's the whole package. And also, just we were able to get increases for our DRE, our music director, the choir director, and we've got some more opportunity for accompanist and our office administrator. Brittany, our office administrator, completed her accounting degree, and she's been doing what I think is a great job for us. She's really been helping make the treasurer's report a lot more streamlined using the power chart and stuff. So I'm really hoping she'll stay on. And anyway, those are some of the budgetary highlights and in our annual budget. Are there any questions? All righty. Then that moves us to our proposed bylaw changes. So if you want to turn to those. Let's see here. That was what came out in the letter. So the first one is Article 4 for membership, and this was really just a little bit of cleanup mainly. So Section 1, and by the way, on these bylaws, so we'll take a vote for each bylaw that we're proposing a change to. And I'll explain just briefly. So for Article 4, there were some what I'd call reference notes from previous changes in the titles, and it didn't really make sense to have those carried on indefinitely, so that's removing those. And our old bylaws, and I don't know how far back this happened, but the bylaws said that all new members go through a board approval. And really, I'm not aware for a long time that we've done that. So these changes to the bylaws are really so that we say what we're going to do and we do what we say. And so we want to, we've grown a lot since the bylaws were written back when the church was formed years ago, 20-some years ago. And so as we've grown and bought the building, and some of these things have kind of carried on, and so that's a change. So any questions on that? Article 4, membership. Do I hear a motion to approve the change as indicated to Article 4?
Oh,
Lisa Alvarado? Okay, great. Leanne, second it. Okay. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Those opposed? Awesome. Motion carried. That was the easy one. So, great. So the next one is Article 7, the Board of Trustees. And a lot of these changes came about as a result of a church audit that we that was done. And so we'll just go through them one by one. Hopefully we can just do one vote to take care of that. So Article 7, Board of Trustees. Section 1, the first one, that just had article, it referenced Article 14, but that's, if you look it up, it's just refers to the church's first board, which, you know, we don't care about that anymore. Well, we do, but it's not relevant to what we're doing going forward. So I propose taking that out. And then for the nominating process, just as it sort of describes it a little better. Section 4, under duties, this is where there were quite a few. And that has to do with the way the board has been running for the past few years and that we foresee it continue to run for now. So let's see. Section 4A, unchanged. Section 4B, B in general and B1 specifically, all the sub-items 1 through 6, that as shown in the old article, they're not really in a policies and procedures manual. Our policies and procedures manual doesn't say to do all of those things. But we do have a policies and procedures manual, and the board is still responsible for doing those things. So a lot of these changes then were made to continue the board's responsibility, but to better describe how it's done and added some things that the board really is responsible for. So Section B2 brings in the idea that the board is responsible for the committee structure, the council system we have now, which was fairly recent, but it could be anything. If the structure changes, it could be suitable for that. It combines the committee liaison aspect from the original 4C, is now 4B2, I guess. But it puts everything into one committee-related section for board responsibility. B3 of the new one, this wording is unchanged from the old B2. B4, we're wanting to make sure that there's a visible and transparent organizational chart, which is really important for old members and new members to know who to go to. So if you're interested in joining a committee or something, and the one we have now, it'll have to change every year. It's posted on the wall by Amy's office, and it shows the council committee structure and what the committees are. And so I think that's important as we all remain engaged in helping the church move forward. So that's really important. So this organizational chart, that's an add. And then section 4, let's see, B5, 6, and 7, the wording is unchanged from 4, 5, and 6. Section 4C replaces the old 4D. It makes provision for the board to authorize someone other than the president to sign a contract. Section 4D, it still requires approval of the board, but when we have contracts, the president hasn't signed everything, so I think it doesn't have to be the president as long as the board is aware. Section 4D, this was one of our audit flags, really, that we didn't have anything regarding staff hiring and firing responsibility. So the wording that's in there now, with the proposed wording, it comes straight from Amy's letter of agreement. Amy is the staff supervisor, and so now with her letter of agreement, which is her contract, and the bylaws, with this wording, we have alignment between those two. Section 4E was another audit flag that we didn't have anything in our bylaws regarding the church's or the board's responsibility for the overall church annual budget and the finance system. So really, the board working with the finance committee, that are maintaining an annual budget, making sure we're not spending more than we take in, is a major board responsibility. So that's a new section, and the way it's worded reflects the way we're doing it today. Last, section 6, it hasn't changed really the way it was written, but we changed the dollar amount to make it more reasonable. I think it was $2,000, but really that was fine for when we didn't own a building and stuff. But you guys don't all want to be called together every time we spend $2,000, I don't think. So that amount is bumped up to $10,000, which is only 1/25th of our 4% of our budget. So I think we should be pretty comfortable with that. So let's see here. So that gets us through Article 7. So I'll open it up for any questions on any of these changes. Gus? No, not this year.
Good, honest answer. The other thing is, where are the job descriptions at?
I can't answer that. Let's see.
Does anybody know?
At this moment, we are working on establishing folders in the office, which will contain the committee's job descriptions, their budgets, meeting notes, and things, so it's accessible to everybody.
I'm concerned about
Staff job descriptions.
Brittany has a file with the locked file.
Okay.
I think that Amy also might have a locked file in her office.
Okay, great. Thank you, Gail. I hadn't read them myself, so no. Did that answer your question, Gus?
It does, but why are they locked? If it's just a generic job description, there shouldn't be personal information on it. I mean, if somebody wants to review the job description.
Personnel files that have contract information, salary information, including the job description. So if you're just speaking about the job description, there's no reason why they can't be transparent.
Okay, good, because the Music Ministry Committee has discussed revising their job descriptions for the paid director and choir director.
Okay, so I think I would suggest, so see Brittany and... she'll get that for you.
Thank you.
Dave?
I know there was a committee when we were hiring our DRE about a year plus ago, there was a subcommittee from the board that was working on that, who kind of developed that, and I'm not sure where the official end is. I know that as RE committee chair that I have record of what was shared with applicants and things like that, but I don't know. Like I said, I don't know where that's being kept.
Thank you, Dave. It sounds like that's in Brittany's file, and again, if anybody would like to see that those job descriptions, I'm sure that can easily be arranged. Any other questions on Article 7, Board Responsibilities? Anybody want to make a motion to accept? Mark Brewer is making the motion. Do I hear a second?
Greg
is second. Any discussion? Hearing none. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Excellent. So we got through that one. Good, good. And the last one, I think, is fairly minimal. That's Article 8, having to do with officers. And mainly has to do with the treasurer position. I think maybe in the past the treasurer was maybe part of the board, but it certainly isn't now. And the board really doesn't directly elect a treasurer. And the treasurer's not a voting board, remember. Rather, the way we're structured now, the finance committee will make a recommendation on a treasurer, and the board would approve that person unless there's multiple candidates, in which case the board would need to take some kind of a vote, or I suppose if the board had some issue, but it's hard to imagine that would be the case. So that's Section 1. Section 2 has to do with the duties of the officers. Part A, the board president does not appoint the committee chairs, so we made that change. Part B, the vice president does not maintain a roster of membership. That comes out of the membership committee, I think. And the vice president's responsibilities or duties, the way our committee council structure is set up, the vice president is responsible for the finance council and also as a liaison person to the Committee on Ministry and the Leadership Committee. Section 2, Part C was no change. Part D, The changes reflect that we now have an office administrator that takes care of functions that were previously secretary responsibilities. And part E, we don't have annual formal financial audits by a three-member review board or review committee, but we do them formally at least once every 5 years by an independent source. So those would be the proposed changes for Article 8. Any questions on that? Okay. Do I hear a motion? Paula? Paula moves we accept that. Is there a second?
Second.
Leanne seconds it. Okay. Any further discussion on those changes? Hearing none. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Looks like that passed unanimously. So that's great. Okay. We're getting through this. Nomination for the president of the Board of Trustees is Karen Haskell. Thank you so much, Karen, for stepping up for that. But we'll need a motion and a second and a vote to that is in our bylaws too. Paula makes a motion. Yvonne seconds it. Any discussion? Don't bring up any of Karen's skeletons in her closet. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Awesome. That's unanimous. Thank you. And nominations for our new Board of Trustees, as I mentioned, got three new members coming on to replace three leaving. And the nominating committee, which I also thank very much because I know that's work to keep track of who might be interested and willing to be on the board. And so thank you, Lisa, and the whole committee who are involved with that. So the nominations are Paul Fackler, Megan Fetters, and Susan Lewis. So it may be... Mike Barra moves that we accept that.
Second,
Barbara Begal. Any discussion?
I think these three people would be fine additions.
All right. Great discussion. By the way, anybody, you know, who wants to change the nominating list is kind of automatically really high on the list as the next nominee. All right, so we have a motion on the floor, a little discussion, and are we ready to vote? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Very good. That's carried. So, yep, give them a hand. And now, nominations for the Leadership Development Committee is Lisa Alvarado. Again, so our bylaws call out that we vote on every year the Leadership Development Committee as well as the board. And I think that's to make sure the congregation is on board with how people are being picked and, you know, how the whole thing works so it's not just like kind of a secret thing. So Lisa Alvarado, Rob Sewer, Joanne Nelson, Kristen Sandin, and Robert Ehler. And I think the bylaws suggest that at least one of the leadership committee is somebody coming off the board, and that, in this case, would be Robert Ehler. Any discussion on our nominees for Leadership Development Committee? Dave?
Just, I'm wondering, I don't know the current makeup of the committee. Who are these people are kind of returning, and who are you going to do?
Well, I know Lisa, Rob, I think... I think Kristen Sandin is new too, but I'm not sure who she's replacing.
Kirsten Johnson.
Okay. Okay, Beth Pesky and Kirsten Johnson are stepping down, being replaced by Kristen Sandin and Robert Ehler. Any other questions? Is there a motion to approve our nominees for leadership development?
I make a motion.
Gus? Megan seconds it. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carried unanimously, I think. And that gets us to our last and most difficult motion, adjournment. Motion to adjourn by Al. Second by Jim. Any discussion? Oh, Paul has got a point of discussion. Oh, it's been an honor. Thank you. So, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? We're out of here.